As you may know, my wife works in the public sector, and therefore when we watch television news, I sometimes find myself forced to watch the sister outlet of the Guardian newspaper, that is to say, the BBC News. It caught my attention this week that the BBC News is again not fit for purpose. There is an inherent left-wing bias in the BBC, and its reporting of a couple of issues was particularly shocking. I'll come to the issue of migrants in a little while, but I start with the issue of wage increases across the UK. There was data out this week showing that wage increases in a month when inflation was 0% are now running at 3.2%. The BBC chose to take its take on this as saying, oh, but it's hugely unfair. People in the private sector are getting more than 3.2% and people in the public sector are only getting 1%. This is monstrous. Of course, they ignored a few issues. Like the fact that between 2008, the start of the financial crisis, and basically this year, wage increases in the private sector have been sweet FA. Wage increases in the public sector have been running at between 1 and 2%. That's your standard wage increase. And, of course, it's not actually the way the public sector works. We get a constant lie about public sector wage increases. We are told this year that, for instance, university lecturers are getting, I think it's 1%. The idle bastards went on strike. Maybe they got a bit more than 1%. Now, that's your standard increase. But what that ignores is that there is huge mobility within the university sector. All sorts of people are trading jobs between universities and indeed within universities. Just look at the jobs pages of The Guardian. So I know that my missus, for instance, has been at her current institution for, I think, 3 years. During that time, she has enjoyed her statutory increase of whether it's 1 or 2% per annum, depending on how often the idle bastards go out on strike. But she's also enjoyed at least one promotion, which has given her a step change, taking her overall increase, if you say it's between 1 and 2% per annum, compound that up, take up her step change because of the promotion. And suddenly, you're looking at an increase over 3 years of something like 12 to 15%. Now, that's not bad. It works out at 5% a year, 4 to 5% a year, which is way above what we're told. We're told that these poor saps are only getting 1 to 2% a year. My missus is not atypical. There is a lot of job mobility within the private sector, public sector, promotions, and people switching institutions. So the headline numbers are distortive as to what the real impact has been on public sector workers over the past few years. But the BBC ignored that, obviously, but it compounded it by saying, it interviewed some sheep shagger from South Wales in the private sector who just got a decent pay increase this year. But he said, for the past 5 years, I've had no pay increase at all. You know, his wages had stayed completely static. And that was then contrasted with folks in the public sector. And the BBC reporter said quite glibly, they've had no real pay, real terms pay increase either. Of course, that is misleading because they have had pay increases, but just in line with inflation pay increases. So call it between 1 and 2% a year over 5 years. They have got an increase of between 5 and 10% in their salary. The poor guy in the private sector has had nothing. It was misleading reporting. The reality is that public sector workers get increases year on year just for being there. There's no forget about rewards for being promoted or merit or anything like that. Just for being there, they get increases every year, irrespective of the state of the economy. That is because the public sector doesn't have to worry about its balance sheet. It's got the great money tree, the grateful taxpayer to provide. The government can carry on borrowing more and more to leave a legacy of debt for our kids. So there's no balance sheet for the public sector to worry about. and there's no worry about whether we're in boom or bust times. Still, the workers get rewarded. In the private sector, of course, it is very different. We have had a tough few years in the economy, and therefore, firms simply in order to survive, to avoid closure, to avoid having to have layoffs, have taken hard decisions, and that may mean that workers do not get a pay increase. And that is necessary for firms to survive, for firms to protect their balance sheet, to strengthen their balance sheet. There was nothing about that in the BBC report. Now the economy appears to be growing. I have questions about that, but it does appear to be growing, and therefore in the private sector there is competition for jobs, or competition for workers. People are starting to see that there are other opportunities opening up. That is at one level pushing private sector firms to give inflation-busting pay increases. But it's also private sector firms are able to give inflation-busting pay increases. That is the reality of how life works. In the bad times, it's better off being in the public sector. You're not going to lose your job, you're going to get a pay increase. But you have to accept that in the good times, the private sector catches up. Over the past 15 or so years, or 18 years, since the election of the war criminal Blair, there has been a grotesque inflation of public sector salaries relative to private sector salaries. They're now higher. BBC doesn't mention that, of course. But on average, people earn more in the public sector than in the private sector. They have longer holidays, they get to throw more sickies, well, they do throw more sickies. They have much better pensions, often funded by you and me in the private sector. All of that was ignored by the BBC. Once again, the reporting was A, biased, and B, misleading. The BBC was not fit for purpose. Move on to the migrants issue, and there is stories in the papers today which are rather alarming. We are told by the BBC, and actually to be fair, by Channel 4 News and most of the other media outlets, that the majority of migrants coming into Europe are Syrian. They're refugees from the appalling things in Syria. It doesn't seem to be true. Not only is it quite clear that there is a great burgeoning market in fake Syrian passports, but it appears there was a guy, by the way, fantastic scoop, a Dutch undercover reporter, managed to buy a Syrian passport for 800 quid, a fake Syrian passport, with the photo and the name on it being the Prime Minister of Holland, and he got through airport security. That, I think, tells you that there's huge criminal enterprises involved in the smuggling. But even if you assume that all those people entering Europe with Syrian passports are having genuine Syrian passports, and it's quite clear that's not the case, the figures show that only 1/5 of the migrants are from Syria. Afghanistan's providing quite a few migrants. We're meant to have created peace in Afghanistan, but clearly we haven't. I understand why people are leaving. Look, if I lived in Syria or Afghanistan, or indeed many of the other countries where these people come from, I want to go and make the journey to the West because, frankly, life is better here. You can't blame these people. But what the data shows is that only 1/5 of these people are fleeing active persecution in Syria. The majority are coming from places where there is either instability but not active persecution. People are not having their heads chopped off in all over the place, like Iraq or Afghanistan. Or in many cases, they are fleeing places where there are no wars at all. The biggest supply of migrants into Europe is Eritrea. Nigeria and Ghana, which are clearly people not fleeing persecution, they are simply 100% economic migrants, again, feature in the list of heavy countries. It's interesting, of course, that most of the Nigerian and Ghana people coming in, nearly all of them, are male. They've spent quite a lot of money coming into Europe, so they're probably not the poorest people in Nigeria. They're the sort of middle-class entrepreneurial people who we would rather like to stay there to help grow that economy. And, of course, they're leaving their families behind. There is no persecution they are fleeing. I know there's some instability in Nigeria, but, you know, if you're a Christian, you should live in the south and a Muslim in the north, or whatever way around it is. I can never quite remember. But it is basically a safe place. It's a developed country. It's a pretty rich country, or it would be if the rulers didn't steal all the money. It's got vast oil reserves and oil production. So there is no reason why people like that should be let into Europe as migrants. You should accept they are economic migrants. As you know, I believe in completely open borders, but no welfare payments, no benefits of anything kind from the state until you pay taxes for 5 years. I think my solution would work. It would be practicable. And of course, it would create a welfare revolution for our own scroungers back home. And it would push organized crime, the people supplying that fake Syrian passport, the people earning a fortune as people smugglers, it would push them out of the game. That is my practical solution. But the problem with the BBC is, again, it is not reporting this. It is consistently showing pictures, if it can, not of a overwhelmingly young male migrant mass, but trying to get as many women and children in as possible. And it is insisting that the majority come from Syria, when that is patently not the case. It is pursuing its agenda. Now, its agenda is in some ways similar to mine. It would like to see much looser border controls and us taking in more migrants. But of course, without the flip side of reforming the welfare state, that would be anathema to the people at the BBC and indeed Channel 4 News. So it is only their solution is not really a solution. It's just a way of getting this country ever closer to bankruptcy. It doesn't work. It is a failed solution of the liberal mind. As every week goes by, we get more and more examples of how the BBC is not fit for purpose. It should be providing objective news analysis. OK, it should even be allowed to have some editorial bias. But just to get the facts wrong and to mislead its viewers, with sole aim of driving that left bias agenda, is simply inexcusable. If it wants to do that, well, privatise it. Put it into the private sector and let's see market forces. How many people will pay for this left-wing shite, rather than the current system where we're forced via the license fee to pay for this less wing shy. I suspect that it will be rather fewer. You know, The Guardian is not exactly a mass circulation paper. It loses money at an editorial level. It gets its money from Auto Trader and from avoiding paying any taxes. If the BBC wants to pursue that agenda, it must surely do so in the private sector and be subject to market forces. I bitterly resent the fact that I have a poll tax on me. I have to pay my poll tax via my TV license fee, rather the missus pays it, in order to watch people putting an agenda which I don't agree with and which they can only support by, quite frankly, lying to their viewers. It's time to privatise the BBC and see whether people really would pay for this complete Orwellian lie machine.